This is Coach Chris Holtman. You're listening to Drive the Lane Podcast.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane, the Ohio State Sports Podcast, where we favor basketball, but we're talking some football, despite Myles Garrett quickly making it already basketball season in the football world. Fun episode today. Devier Posey's on the show. Little Western Kentucky slash rest of the Ohio State season preview. But before all that, Joey, we're going to talk a little bit about the Ohio State football team so far and moving forward. And we're going to do that by using gambling odds and bets and futures. And what I mean by that is I got a list right here. It's national championship, Big Ten championship, Ohio State's win total, Heisman candidates make the college football playoff, and the odds of this weekend's game, Ohio State versus Western Kentucky. We're going to use that to kind of drive the conversation. But again, before that, how you doing, Joey?
I'm good, Andrew. I'm good. We can talk into my weekend festivities and the different games that I watched and enjoyed. We were in the same city but didn't see each other for a record like eighth straight time probably. Shout out to Luke Fader. Spent a lot of time with him, who is our mutual friend, who I can't wait to golf with you and him. And life is good, man. I cannot complain. It's a terribly gross day in Columbus right now, but doesn't matter because the Buckeyes are 2-0 and have a chance to go 3-0 in a couple days from now. But like Andrew said, what I'm excited about on this show, Andrew, before I ask you how you're doing, is what better way to talk about the state of college football than do it through the lens and through the eyes of different gambling options and opportunities out there, and which ones make sense for Ohio State and which ones don't, which ones are in between, and who we might want to slot in there instead of a Marvin Harrison, instead of an Ohio State Buckeye national champion. But all that being said, how are you? How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing good. I had one bet over the weekend after a disastrous week one, and it was Browns money line, and I happened to attend that game. It might actually be illegal to bet on a game that you attend because you can impact the outcome of the game. And I definitely did from my, you know, loud cheering and celebrating. But so I'm doing great. A little victory Monday yesterday carried into a victory Tuesday today. But I'm doing good. I like you, I'm excited to talk about this stuff, but really more than ever, and I texted you this, and you probably took this as a shock, I'm ready for Ohio State basketball already. And we won't harp on that too much, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked were you that week two of the college football season, you're getting that text from me of all people?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I laughed and I was like, now you know how it feels. That's because, you know, we're excited about basketball. We love basketball, but like, Ohio State football is in a weird spot right now. You know, we'll always root for them. We're always excited. But like at the end of the day, it's a year where it doesn't feel the same for not, probably starts with the quarterback probably. Right. Which is crazy, but, and we'll dive into all that stuff in more detail with our guy DP. But it is weird that there's not the same buzz around Columbus. I mean, I can tell you I'm here. It doesn't feel the same. You know, maybe it's because the Browns won. That could be it. Maybe they're just
I can tell you why.
Why?
It's because Ohio State is the fifth best favorite to win the national championship. And Penn State is actually pretty close behind them. And Michigan's one of the teams in front of them. So most years, Ohio State is like the favorite, not just in the Big Ten, but a top two favorite in the country to win the national championship at week two. It's definitely been since we started the season. And now you're looking at it where they have the fifth best odds. And then right behind them is Penn State, Notre Dame, and USC, who two of those teams, Ohio State plays in Penn State and Notre Dame. So my question to you to start this little look at the eyes of the Ohio State team through a gambler is, of the top five teams, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Texas, and Ohio State, which of those teams would you stick your money on?
Well, Andrew, I've got news for you. As much as I am an Ohio State fan, this weekend converted me as well as many of my other friends. I was in Chicago for a birthday party. We were watching the Texas Longhorns play the Alabama Crimson Tide, with all of us having wagered on Texas, not just Texas to cover the 7, but Texas to win, because Quinn Ewers is a former Buckeye, because Texas is back. And Texas just went into Alabama and handled business and looked pretty darn good doing it. Give me the Texas Longhorns. They are – last year I was a converted Tennessee fan for similar reasons once they beat Alabama. So this year I'm a converted Texas Longhorn fan, and to that I'd say all I can say is, okay, cool, hook 'em.
I like it. I agree with you. A team below them – Caleb Williams is probably going to win the Heisman again if they win 10-plus games.
No.
Wrong. And well, because Colorado's going to lose a few, which I know is what you're going to say. Wrong. But USC, the other night I was watching them, I was with someone. He was like, I'm thinking about taking Stanford plus 29.5. And I was like, you know what? USC's offense, Stanford's not really anything. I go, I know their defense is bad, but I just wouldn't touch that tonight. We literally blinked. And it was like 35-0 2 minutes into the game. Their offense is insane. I would love to see USC's offense go up against Ohio State's defense, which has been awesome so far. But the next two Big Ten championship odds and Ohio State's win total odds, they kind of go hand in hand, because the top two teams to win the Big Ten championship, Ohio State's plus 250, they trail Michigan plus 130. That's pretty confident from Vegas in Michigan. Now, here's what's interesting too, is the over under 10.5 is plus 152, which is crazy, because before the season it was probably like minus 200 that Ohio State would win over 10.5 games. But that means they would lose two games for it to go under. So, but they're still favored ahead of Penn State to win the Big Ten. So it's like,
you're like the Zach Galifianakis meme right now, where like all the numbers are going spinning around.
So it's like, if you think they're going to win the Big Ten, then they're going to go over. And if you think they're going to go over, then they're probably going to win the Big Ten, because that means they would only have one loss, which I guess they could do what they've done the last 2 years, which is just lose to Michigan.
And they could lose the Big Ten championship game.
Right. So what would you be most confident in to take, Ohio State plus 250 to win the Big Ten, or Ohio State plus 152 to go over 10.5 wins? It's not which do you think is more likely to happen, because the odds tell you that. It's like, or which gives you a better payout. Like, which, if you had to bet, would you feel more comfortable betting on?
I think it's pretty clear from watching the games that you'd rather take the over on the win total than to win the Big Ten. And that's not necessarily because Ohio State doesn't look great, which is kind of true, but there's two teams that could, Ohio State could beat Penn State and lose to Michigan, but Michigan is going to be Penn State, right? Whatever the case, however the dominoes fall, like Ohio State losing once could very well mean that they don't make the Big Ten championship game. Maybe that's because they lost to Penn State but beat Michigan. Maybe it's because they lost to Michigan but beat Penn State. I don't see them losing. I mean, I could see them losing three games, maybe, just because of – but Notre Dame, right, could be that third loss, or maybe it's, you know, Wisconsin, whoever it might be. I just have more confidence in that, you know, again, the odds kind of tell you, and them still having a great season and winning, you know, enough games to get that over total, but not making the Big Ten championship still. Like, there's a world – we saw it – where that happens. That's where I have more confidence in. I think those are both, like, kind of – I don't love either of those bets, honestly, just because it's just a really tough conference and they have a tough schedule remaining. So, like, I kind of also feel like if you're going to bet on one of them, you might as well bet on them to win the Big Ten, just because, like, there's more juice and you are rooting for that anyway. I just am hesitant to say that because we saw the prime example of it happening last year, where they play great, they win enough games to cover their total, right? But they don't make the Big Ten championship. And it obviously, it is their fault, but it's not their fault at the same time.
Yeah. So what's funny is, to make the college football playoff, they're plus 230 and Michigan is minus 125. So very similar odds that both teams have to win the Big Ten, which basically says the winner of the Big Ten is going to go to the college football playoff, which is probably going to happen unless, like a 7-win West team beats Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State. So if you were to bet one of these teams, Michigan or Ohio State, to win the Big Ten, you might as well slap a little extra cash on that team to make the playoff too, because those go hand in hand. Or you hedge your bet with taking Ohio State to win the Big Ten and Michigan to make the playoff.
Or you bet on neither and just bet on Penn State because they have the best quarterback of all three of the guys.
That's true. So speaking of best quarterbacks, let's move to Heisman candidates. Okay. The top Heisman odds is Caleb Williams plus 400, Quinn Ewers plus 750, Michael Penix plus 850, and then a bunch of guys between 1,000 and 3,000. And then you get to Marvin Harrison, who's got the 12th best odds at plus 3,500, two later Kyle McCord plus 4,000. I'll take this real quick from an Ohio State standpoint, and then you can say who you think's going to win the Heisman overall. I think this is going to be the best odds you can get on Marvin Harrison. Now, I'm not saying it's going to go down to like minus 200, but if he does the same stuff again this week as he did last week, you know, if he does it against Western Kentucky, he puts up 100 plus yards, two touchdowns. All of a sudden, he's at over 300 yards, four or five touchdowns, whatever it ends up being.
Back to normal, back to expected.
Back to normal, back to expected, if not above expected, because of the monster game he had last week, really on like two catches. And then he had a couple irrelevant whatever catches. But these are the best odds you're going to get on Marvin Harrison. Kyle McCord is not going to win the Heisman unless Marvin Harrison
– nuclear.
Well, unless he goes nuclear, which is going to give Marvin Harrison the craziest stats ever. And then at that point, it's like, well, Marvin Harrison isn't going to win the Heisman unless Kyle – so those two are tied together, obviously. I am not betting on those guys.
Oh, what? Andrew, why not? No, I'm totally with you. I got
who are you betting on?
I got two names for you. It's no fun to take the favorite, but it is fun to take the second favorite and hook them. We're going to go with Quinn Ewers, as I am now the newest Texas Longhorns fan. But I do have my juiciest future bet, and maybe my history of my short career of maybe like 10 total future bets ever, is – I do have Travis Hunter from game one, which is pretty fun, from like first quarter of game one or something like that. He's gone from plus like 25,000 when I got him to now he's like plus 1,800 or something more reasonable. So I'm telling you who I have money on because that's who I'll be rooting for.
He's plus 5,000 now. He went back down after a meh week.
Oh no, I just looked like 5 hours ago and it.
On FanDuel, he's plus 5,000.
Okay, great. Well, either way, it still has gone down. I mean, that's a fifth of what it was when I got him, which is crazy. So if Travis Hunter plays 110 snaps every week and ends up with eight interceptions and eight receiving touchdowns, like he will be the best player in college football, whether he gets the Heisman or not for that. We'll see. But that's why I also – I'm going the safer route with the Quinn Ewers, which I haven't placed a Texas future or Quinn Ewers future. I'm kind of waiting for like them to come back to earth a little bit. Right. I just am rooting for them nonetheless. So
yeah.
That's who I think. What do you have any guys in mind?
I mean, I've watched both of USC's games, all three of their games. Caleb Williams is unbelievable. And they don't usually give it to repeat players.
As in only once ever. There's not
besides
not
the one Archie Griffin, Ohio State. But if there was any player to do it, it's Caleb Williams, who has had all this hype, who's been the projected number one pick for the last like 3 years. USC, they are going to have some big games. They're going to play, you know, Sanders in Colorado, Deion and Sun. And that's another candidate right there, obviously. I just think they have too hard of a schedule. It's hard not to bet the favorite when the favorite is the most electric player ever and he's plus 400 still right now.
They could lose three games and then it doesn't matter.
They lost three games last year and he won.
Yeah, but that was because there was nobody. That I just feel like the media, the world, like loves the stories as much as they love the players, right? And I think that whether it's Shadir Sanders or Travis Hunter or Quinn Ewers or the quarterback from Florida State, right? Like those are great stories, you know.
All these guys in the in the Pac-12 are going to play each other too. Penix, Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Penix is a great story too. Torres Sanders came back, you know. So yeah, it's interesting. I have a good bet. Last thing I'll say is there's no voter fatigue like there is for like the NBA MVP in the Heisman, because like they give it to the best player and it's usually not back-to-back years, even though there is a little bit of it, because like Johnny Manziel had a better year than he did his Heisman year. Caleb Williams will probably have better stats than he did last year. Tim Tebow had better years than his Heisman year, right? But like we've only seen it once with Archie. So whether they say it or not, there seems to be a little bit of voter fatigue. So that's why it's like I don't want to – Caleb Williams just happens to be the number one option too. I just don't get excited about that, which
– Yeah. So there's two things I want to say. First thing is Caleb Williams is the quarterback that's like, no matter how good your NFL team's quarterback is, unless it's Patrick Mahomes, you're like, okay, maybe we trade so-and-so and tank this year and get Caleb Williams. Like, literally, I think Bengals fans, after watching Burrow and just signing Burrow to that huge deal, might be saying, hey, it'd be okay if we got Caleb Williams. He is insane. But the bet I would say is, if you had to take this, the Heisman Trophy winner will come from the Pac-12.
Ooh, interesting.
Or not. Would you take the field or the Pac-12? And with no odds on it, I don't know how to make the odds on that. But just like if you – what you think is going to happen, because then, of course, you got Quinn Ewers.
Wow, I guess I'm taking the Pac-12, because I feel like between – even like guys like Bo Nix,
right.
Penix,
I was
both
just reading
Colorado guys and Caleb Williams being the favorite. That's probably
yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting bet. You should pose that somewhere. I'm sure they're thinking about it.
There's probably names on here that are also Pac-12 that I'm skipping over, but the highlights are Shedeur Sanders, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Caleb Williams. Those four are all in the top. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're all in the top nine. So four of the top nine, and maybe more that I just like don't have every player's name and team memorized. One more thing, NFL draft, Caleb Williams. He is -330 to go number one, which is crazy at this point in the year. Joey.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but like, I know where you're going with this. Like maybe you just do like a will Caleb Williams be the number one pick, and you just do no, because him and his dad came out and were like, if they don't like the situation, he's going back to college.
The field is +220. So it's Caleb Williams versus the field is +220, which is crazy. Bryce Young was the number one pick last year. And I feel like up until the day of the draft, people were saying they could go defense with Will Anderson and keep Davis Mills. They could take Darnold or re-sign someone. They could trade it. Wait, it was the Bears, and the Bears traded it. So, like, up until last minute, you didn't know who the number one pick was going to be. It ended up being, like, overwhelmingly Bryce Young the favorite by the time the draft came around. Yeah. But the fact that it's -330 week
Crazy.
Four is insane. And the second best odds is Drake May +550, then Quinn Ewers +1600, and then Marvin Harrison.
Quinn yours.
Quinn, what did I say it wrong?
You said like Q, and like his name's not Quinn.
Oh, Quinn Ewers +1600, and then Marvin Harrison +2000. I mean, I would sprinkle a little bit on Marvin Harrison +2000 on the off chance that
the Panthers get the number one pick,
or the Bears
want to keep it,
or the Bears either of their picks, whether it's their the Panthers' pick is the Bears.
Oh, that's right. But
someone will literally sell the Bears will take Caleb Williams if they have the number one pick and Fields doesn't get injured. If they're that bad that they have the number one pick and they have like the number two pick from Carolina or whatever it is, then they will take Caleb Williams because who have I talked about this before? Dwayne Washington?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, Caleb Williams is – everyone's like, he's as close to Patrick Mahomes as Patrick Mahomes is to Patrick Mahomes. So.
And he's better than Patrick Mahomes was in college.
Yeah, way better.
What else should we talk about?
I don't know. Should we just get to our interview? We'll talk more Ohio State with him.
Let's get to the interview. All right, join us now on Drive the Lane, former Ohio State wide receiver and future pro golfer, Devere Posey. Welcome back to the show.
Andrew, what's good? Joey, what's up, man? Definitely don't have pro golf in my future. If you ask my foursome, they would be like, yo, we carried this dude. But it was fun, man. I had some good golf this week. Did the Jason Day Brighter Day event the other day at Double Eagle. Awesome, man. How you guys been?
Man, we've been good. You know, it's football season. Obviously, unfortunately, as we were talking about before, it's kind of the end of golf season. But with the end of golf season comes football and eventually basketball season. So it's hard to complain. We've been good.
Yeah.
We're excited to chat with you a little bit about Ohio State football. So hopefully you make us a little bit more excited about Ohio State football, because that's kind of where we're at right now, is we're trying to feel everything out. But there's no better person to ask about the early thoughts, you know, what, as casual fans, right? What are the casual fans thinking that maybe is correct? What's maybe wrong? What's like the state of Ohio State football to you?
I think we're fine, right? See, there's different eras of Ohio State football that people can always be proud of. I think in the era that's just, you know, most recent, Urban's era, did you guys get to watch Swamp King?
Oh, yeah.
Urban Meyer's Netflix. So there was this motivation that Urban had that almost turned to paranoia, that was started with, we have to win every game here at Florida to go to the national championship. And if you lose, you know, and we have to win by this much because of the BCS system. There's this BCS mindset, right? That I think this year, guys, it's going to be the last year that really you have to play football with this mindset. And even as a fan, we're going to have to start switching our thinking. People want us to be in the BCS mindset already. And we're uncomfortable with not beating people and putting 50 and 40 on the board. And that's okay. And it's like that because through the BCS system, you have to score so many points. If you're not out far ahead enough, if you fall back too far, one loss, you know, you can't ever get in. And so with the expansion of 12 teams, and then this year, it's really about winning your conference this year. Like, it's just, doesn't matter what our record is. If we win the Eastern Conference and go to the Big Ten Championship and beat the West Ham, we'll be in the playoffs, period. Done, end of story. How that gets done, I don't care because I'm not expecting us to do it Urban Meyer BCS style, point style. Like, we don't need that. We don't need that right now. We don't have that kind of quarterback. Yes, we have weapons, but I'm fine winning every game tight. As long as it's a dub in a column, guys, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say, because wins and losses are all that matters. And you'll eventually see people get to the point to where they'll be playing their best football in November. It's like basketball, you know, you guys know, like, you're not going to turn it on until late May, right? Like, you don't want to lose it early. And I'm not saying that's how it's going to be, but you want to be playing your best football in November in next year's format. And I just feel like in this year's format, we just got to win our games, beat Michigan, beat Penn State, and we'll be in a good position, man. There's no need to panic. Relax.
There was a year with Stroud where they lost the second game of the season to Oregon and people were panicking. Now people are panicking and they haven't lost yet. So I'm with you. I'm panicking in the sense that, like, I don't think it's the greatest team they've ever assembled, which for the past 5 years, there were people arguing, oh, this is the best Ohio State team ever. This is the best Ohio State team ever. So that's where I think is the difference. But my question to you about the team, because you're not panicking, I want to ask you a wide receiver specific question. Everyone talks about Marvin Harrison. Everyone talks about he, you know, if there was no Caleb Williams, he'd be the number one pick. He might be anyway. But what do you see from him that you're like, actually, this guy can work on this?
Oh, like what can he work on? That's a good one. I think for me, the only thing that that I would love to see more from Marv is some slot work, right? Just being able to be, like, to me, a true number one is a guy. I mean, we all watched Stephon Diggs last night. I mean, guy caught passes from the slot, caught passes from the tight end side, power side, backside X. Is just being able to be in all those positions. I think for Marv this year, being able to move around and win is what's really going to help him become, you know, that number one overall pick. If he can show he can just dominate from every receiver position and run every single route. So, I mean, it's not much to, you know, you don't want to say he's perfect. You know, I'm pretty sure there's things he can improve on. You know, I think back to the first play, you know, stepping out of bounds, you know, things like that, you know, things to stay sharp on. But I want to see him play in all three spots at the receiver position on the field, for sure.
So while we're nitpicking, let's go to the easiest guy on the field to nitpick, the quarterback. yeah. Obviously, it's been weird because, I mean, obviously with like JT and Cardale, it was weird not having a quarterback, but like we had just won a national championship, so no one really cared. Like now we care because it's not too – all-time greats, right? Not yet, right? As we're recording this, Ryan Day just said that it's Kyle McCord's team. He's the quarterback. Doesn't mean Devin Brown might play in spots, whatever, but it's Kyle McCord's team. He's the starter. What does that do for not just the team, but Kyle McCord specifically, knowing, hey, I've done enough. I've earned this. It's my team, especially when you're going into 2 weeks from now playing against a really good Notre Dame team? How much does this help? What does this mean? I mean, as a player myself in a different sport, if a point guard gets the keys to the car in basketball, right? Like that's a big deal. He clearly got the keys to the car today. What do you think, you know, is most impactful from that?
I think pats on the back and positive and reinforcement with Kyle, it will be a good thing. He doesn't strike me as a guy that, you know, when the chips are down against me and everybody's hating on me, I'm going to prosper. Like, I don't get that vibe from Kyle. You know what I mean? I may be wrong. He seems like a nice kid. So I think he'll do well with everybody rooting for him to do great. I don't think this quarterback has to be awesome. And like when I was kind of speaking about errors of football, I think it's going to get done like trestle ball style, right? I mean, like, yeah, it's not going to be to where, you know, we're hanging 50, hanging 70. And I know that's going to be it's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of Buckeye fans, Buckeye fans from the last 10 to 15 years. But the way that Trestle would win, he would use time of possession. He would be in big personnel. He would take shots outside sometimes, but mainly control the clock by running the football. Now the offensive line has to improve, and I think that's a major area of concern for a lot of people. I don't really feel like the offensive line is at a place where we have first and second round draft picks on the line. You know, there might be one, there might be two guys at Ohio State. I get it. People are talented. I understand. But just like as a unit, they just need more time. I know Indiana's game was a point to where they were trying to find Mike points, and that's like a sensitive subject between offensive line and quarterback play. Indiana knew that by putting us in that position, they could really kind of expose that. So they have to fix that stuff. Those are things they have to fix. I'm worried about that. I think Kyle will help play trestle ball. I think he'll do a good job at that. I think he'll do better in that type of, you know, like mentality and method to win rather than trying to be CJ or trying to be what we've saw. Like, bro, it's Joey. Like, let's take it to the hoop court, right? Like, it's like, are we going to get this done James Harden style? Or are we going to share the ball and make sure we get a great shot on this possession? Like, are we going to take the best play and best shot? Or, you know, the Jim Boeheim method. Let's just play 2-3. You know what I mean? Beat our 2-3. And it's just like, you have to beat this and game plan this and wait your time and have a big shot. And I just feel like we were used to winning in the sexiest fashion possible. It's not going to be ugly. I mean, it's not going to be nice. It's going to be ugly. Like, we're going to have 28, 21, 17, 19 wins, 38, 32. Like, but we'll win. It was just, it'd just be ugly.
Speaking of sexy and ugly, there's clearly, you know, three or four sexy Big Ten teams this year, and the rest are yeah, you know, either ugly or in between. I actually think there's more good teams this year than the last few years, because Penn State looks like a legit Big Ten contender. Wisconsin lost week two, but if you don't lose a Big Ten game, I'm not concerned about you yet for the grand scheme of the Big Ten. What has stood out from you outside of Ohio State, and does any of it make you, you know, quote unquote, nervous about winning the Big Ten?
I think for me, on the east side, I've been thoroughly impressed with Penn State. I think Drew Aller is an absolute stud for him to be a young guy. I mean, he's an Ohio guy, and I think they really hit big on him. The running back room, the defense, I think they're playing at a high clip this year. That game makes me nervous as hell, you know. I'm gonna be squeezing my butt cheeks tight for that one. You know, I can't even lie. So it's gonna be crazy. You know, so that game is gonna be good. Michigan looks like Michigan. I do think they're beatable though. You know, they don't give me the feel like last year. I do think Michigan is beatable. But where I'm really impressed, and I kind of said this in one of my radio shows, I made a dark horse for the West with Purdue, and I think Ryan Walters, head coach from Purdue, he lost to Fresno State. I don't think Fresno State is a bad team. I think they'll play in a bowl game, and he lost to them. Went on and beat Virginia Tech. I think it was on the road. Yeah. We go to West Lafayette. That team is sitting 1-1. Illinois is sitting 1-1. Minnesota, I think they're 2-0. I think Iowa's 2-0. I think that West is going to come down to Iowa, Wisconsin, and Purdue. And I just believe that Purdue has a chance. We go to the West Lafayette. Ohio State traditionally doesn't play good in West Lafayette. It's a sleepy-ass town. The only thing they got going are the train sounds, and you know, it's just a sleepy place. I like what they got going there. So outside of Ohio State and Big Ten, I'm keeping my eye on Purdue. I'm keeping my eye on Penn State, and you know, and the West, how the West plays out, you know, it's going to be a tight one. It's going to be a tight one.
Where was your favorite, like, underrated place to play in the Big Ten? You mentioned I West Lafayette for hoops was unbelievable, but I agree that the town is, it's sleepy, like you said. It's just a weird place.
It's sleepy.
But yeah, it's like a little sleepy. Yeah. Is there like for me, for basketball, the most underrated place that we went to was Nebraska. Like, Nebraska was so awesome. Their fans are incredible. A great example. Yeah, there's clearly nothing in Lincoln, Nebraska, other than Nebraska sports. Is there a place that, like, not Penn State, not Michigan, not Wisconsin? Is there a place that was really sneaky, like a really awesome atmosphere?
Let me think about that. Michigan State is a fun place to play. What are you saying, Andrew?
Well, I was going to say, we may have asked you that before, but it's been so long that people won't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, we haven't been talking in a while. Yeah, I think it was late last year. Michigan State, East Lansing is a fun place to play. Trying to think. Iowa is a crazy environment. Here's why. The locker rooms are pink. They have pink locker rooms. It's just like, I guess they did a psychology study. It, like, softens you up. And you're in there, like, you know, listening or whatever you're listening to, like, you know, sitting in a pink locker. It's kind of crazy. But the fans are like, here's the bench, and there's like enough room to like put like, you know, lay some bags horizontally, put like a little exercise bike, and then the fans are right there. Like they can look over like, oh, that's just not going to work. You know, if you're writing something up, like, yeah, Iowa is a great place to play. I would go with, you know, Iowa and Michigan State as far as, you know, outside of Wisconsin. I always, you know, Michigan was okay. The Big House is pretty boring to me. I didn't really think it was crazy. Yeah, I didn't think it was crazy. You know, we kept it pretty quiet in there. I thought Penn State was absolutely nuts, but Wisconsin, Madison is hands down to me the best place to play
Jump around.
In the Big Ten. Spurgeon.
So, have you been to Iowa, Andrew?
I've not been to Iowa. I got to get there.
It's awesome. I agree. I watched Iowa Northern yeah. Iowa football game when I went with a buddy to visit on a visit actually, and it was jam packed, awesome. Like that was like my first real taste of college football. I hadn't been to an Ohio State yeah. football game at that point in my life, so that was
right.
That was awesome. Yeah,
I was sleepy, man. People sleep on Iowa. Like it's, I mean, it's not sleepy.
Not sleepy like West Lafayette. Iowa. Yeah, yeah.
No. West Lafayette is sleepy.
So, Iowa man. City is really fun.
DP. So as a fan, there's some things that are very out of your control that bother me. For yeah. example, when yeah. you have a potential like top five or top 10 matchup, and then one of those teams loses, and then it's not like it's a big letdown yeah. game. For example, Ohio State plays Western Kentucky and Notre Dame plays Central Michigan. It would suck if one of those teams loses, and then it's
yeah.
not a
yeah.
Was there any, yeah. was stuff like that in your mind as a player? Like, were you thinking, okay, yeah. we're going to have a top five matchup, and would you be disappointed if a team that you wanted to beat lost before you got to play them?
No, I think as a player, when I watch back the TV copies of games, I was like, oh, shit, like, dang, we were ranked that low that week. You know what I mean? Like, I remember how you would finish the season because that's all that really matters. But it still kind of surprised me sometimes when I watch TV copies how, you know, what our ranking was. I don't, you know, Kate Silver did an interview this week. And he was just like, we don't care, like, you know, we got to go play and, you know, I don't care what they say. He says, you know, whoever's in their basement talking on whatever podcast, like, you know, I mean, they deal with a lot of that stuff now. It's a lot more noise now than, you know, and people have, you know, obviously have a lot more access to cameras. So I don't think as a player, the guys really care about that. I know I didn't as a player. I just really, man, I had so many plans before and after the game. You know, I just was trying to get through the game so I could execute when we got back. No, I'm not caring. I didn't care. But no, I get what you're saying, though, Andrew. And I think from my perspective now, I like to see big games. But, man, like, I think I've got to a point where I just recognize good ball. Like, it doesn't even matter about the rankings. Like, it's – and it doesn't matter. Like, that's why I'm excited about this 12-team playoff, because it's like, that shit is out the window. You know what I mean? It's not even something to where it really matters, because 12 get in. So it's like, yeah, as long as you're in the top 12, you're in the dance, baby. And you know, and that's what matters. So I think those top 10 rankings, preseason rankings, All-American Heisman list, like, you know, man, that stuff is – it's, man, it's, whoever's like spending their time doing that, it's like, man, like, what did you base this off of?
I think Andrew asked that question because the Ohio State basketball story is essentially, if we are playing a team that is looking beatable and ranked really high, they lose the game before we play.
They did that a lot. They did that
and
a lot
always and, yeah. and or. We play a team really yeah. close, almost beat them, and the next game they'll lose. Or it goes down. It literally is just – it never aligns perfectly, but that's neither here nor there. You mentioned Heisman's yeah. – Heisman, I guess. I'm curious yeah. – you know, we talked about it earlier on this episode as you're listening yeah. to this, everybody listening. We have our thoughts on who – if we had to put money down right now, who maybe has good value, who could rise up, who we actually think is going to win.
besides maybe like Caleb Williams and like Marvin Harrison, right? Who do you think has a good chance of winning the Heisman?
Oh yeah, Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders. They'll definitely
hell yeah.
In the conversation, man, I mean, those dudes are absolute ballers. On my show, I said, you know, if they can make it to the USC game, you know, I think it's a 3-0 or 4, you know, it would be 4-0. They beat Oregon. Those guys will be on there. I mean, it's just the facts. I mean, those guys are playing good ball. You know, Caleb has an opportunity to repeat. I'm not really a Drake May guy, but a guy that I think will sneak in there, Quinn Ewers, after this past weekend.
Yeah.
He could really sneak in there. And it's just like that's the like the portal paradox, right? Like in Ohio State is in it. Like we had a quarterback battle because Quinn Ewers went into the portal. He wasn't patient enough to play, right? Like this would be his year.
Oh,
and he would have
shit.
3 years. He would have 3 years to play. And so it's like when you really think about it, you know, that's why we have a quarterback competition. It's not like Ryan Day recruited wrong or like why, you know, it's just he couldn't keep the guy happy. So he did his job. And I think it's like backing – like if I was in the big – if I was on the whiteboard, you know, in the Woody Hayes and you're like looking at it and, you know, it's like, man, like, you know, we're kind of backed up with the depth chart. Because this guy left, now these guys have to play. Then we had to add another guy. We didn't really have the guy we wanted. So speaking on that, you know, neither here nor there. I do think, you know, Quinn Ewers can sneak in there outside of, you know, the Marvin Harrisons, Caleb Williams, Shedeur, and Travis Hunter. Yeah, those guys. Yeah, Quinn has an opportunity.
I'm glad you mentioned all those guys. First thing about Quinn is it's kind of similar to Ohio State basketball because the last like 3
everything is similar to Ohio State
but
basketball.
You asked us last time, like, when is Holtman going to make the Final Four? When is Ohio State going to be like a title contender again? And they've gotten unlucky with their players leaving for the NBA. Like Dwayne Washington left earlier than he could have. EJ Liddell left earlier than he could have. Malachi Branham left earlier than he could have. And Bryce Sensabaugh left. However, there's a lot of young guys on this team now, and Joey and I talk about that. So it's similar. Like, imagine if this Ohio State team had Quinn Ewers. Like,
I don't want to do that.
No, I'm just saying it's like kind of similar to basketball in the sense that Ryan Day didn't do anything wrong. He's not going to bench C.J. Stroud. Holtman didn't do anything wrong. He's not going to tell Malachi Branham, hey, don't go be a top, you know, first round pick. It's just, I guess you put it up to bad luck. But I just wanted to squeeze that point in. The other thing I'm going to say is I've never seen a team like Colorado where every single person just loves them. Like everyone wants them to win. Everyone wants to cheer for them. You think of TCU last year, who kind of came out of nowhere and was really good. Like no one was like, I really want TCU to make the playoff. No one gave a shit. It's like, this is a polarizing team. Obviously the easy answer is Deion. But my last question for you is like, why does everyone fall in love with this team?
I think for me as a former player, the route that Deion took is crazy. I mean, he's coached his kids from, you know, Little League all the way up. He's been with his two sons. And that story is amazing. One, two, I'm sorry, not as a former player, but as a dad, that's amazing. I mean, as a dad who has sons, that's amazing. As a former player, the route that he took, not saying, hey, I'll take the GA job, you know, and I'll do it the traditional way that it has done in the past. It's like, okay, cool. I'll go to a level where I know they'll appreciate me, and then I'll win here. And then you'll see the effect that I have on the university, the players, and, you know, just what the results will be. He's taken that business model, and he's brought it to Colorado. And then just three, right, the aesthetics. How that shit looks. It's just like Deion Sanders is one of the coolest people in the world of sports. Like when you talk about me growing up in the late 90s, early 2000s, Allen Iverson is the coolest basketball player ever to play, you know, he was just like what he meant to the culture. And the thing, I guess, that kind of stopped Allen Iverson was like, oh, man, like, what kind of guy is he? You know what I mean? People never really knew, but it was questioned. Deion was the coolest football player to ever live. You know what I'm saying? And he was a Super Bowl champ. He was a winner, a leader. He did it with flair. You guys know, like, his combine story and stuff like that, right? You know, like showing up to the combine in a limo, getting out, running a 4.2 and leaving, you know, just doing stuff like that.
Legend.
I mean, it's just a legend. I mean, I grew up in Cincy when he played with the Reds. It's just like, this dude is so cool. And I think, like, culture wise, like the way that Fab Five, like, kind of like hit the culture and everybody kind of like Michigan was wearing a block M for a little bit. Like, I kind of flirted with, like, yo, I might grab me a little Colorado pullover or something. You know what I mean? Because you know what it means. You know what it means when you see it, it's like, you with Deion and you with Prime. Like, it's not like I like Colorado. It's just like I'm with the wave. And it's not like you want to jump on the wave, but I support it. I really do. And it's must-see TV, man. Shador and Travis. I've never seen a guy play that many snaps. I mean, I thought Shador played at a very high clip. The way he was throwing the rock, like, I'm impressed. And I called that shit last, like, in the summer. I went on a vacation to Hawaii. I watched the Prime doc, right? He has one on Amazon. I watched it for the, you know, the trip, you know, the flight. And I'm like, damn, like, this dude is impressive. Like, he's making the kids open the doors for people on campus. He's getting on the school about certain things that he, not that he needs, but just like that they need, the way they need to carry themselves, like how he speaks to the guys. And it's just like, I mean, he can motivate a group of kids to play well. Like, he can, like, I watch his bets and I'm like, I mean, I watch his speeches and I'm like, shit, y'all, I bet my savings on this dude right now to cover. Like, it's crazy. Like, he's motivated, like Joey, like, he doesn't get you hype. I mean,
no, he absolutely does. The like pregame speeches he gives are unbelievable. They like give you chills, make you run through a brick wall, and then he ends them all by saying, "Give me my darn theme music," and then then it's over.
I have a theory. I have a theory. After you finish, Joey, go keep going. No,
give me your theory.
My theory is that a big part of it is that the Colorado, the Buffalo, and like the actual mascot is a real thing. It's similar to Texas with like Ralphie, the Buffalo. It's similar to Texas with the Longhorn. It's a real animal. Yeah. There's an actual live mascot that's
like the Georgia Bulldog. Like,
yeah, it's not like a made up thing. Yeah. Like, it's not like a, no, we love Ohio State. Obviously, we love Brutus, but it's like a real thing. Like, no one's like, wow, look how cool that nut is. You know, it's like it's we think Brutus is cool, but like it's a real actual thing. It's not a horned frog that's like no one knows what that is. It's not a lot of elephants like the rolling
rolling tide.
Like it's like a real actual thing, and there's actual buffaloes in Colorado. That's
a terrible theory.
No, that's the theory. It's a real thing. You can
so you think it's like a little psychology play on that.
Yeah,
you can like visualize like
I got see the buffalo. No, the buffalo's running out. It's not like the little leprechaun with the drum.
It's like we need that in college football. Like, I get what you're saying. It's like the Georgia Bulldog. Like it's like I get you the Florida Gators. Like you can visually see
real animal.
Yeah.
What I think is so,
like the hurricanes, not so much.
Oh yeah, right. Like, what would you, like you're not like we live in the Midwest. We're not worried about hurricanes. If I was in downtown Chicago and I saw a fucking buffalo right there, I'd be terrified. It's like a real scary animal that you can't rule out running into at any moment.
Here's the last thing I'll say. What kills me about this whole thing is when they get like mad about students like storming the field, like player safety, students want them to be safe, but then they have those four guys like sprinting with the buffalo on the field. It's like, come on, guys! Like we got like you can't say it's one thing or the other. That's like the craziest shit ever. Like full sprint with a live buffalo.
Hey, wait, and have you guys ever been to Colorado Springs? or Boulder or anywhere down there in Denver?
I was just in Denver and we went up to Frisco and Breckenridge. It's unbelievable.
So beautiful, man. It's absolutely just breathtaking, gorgeous. And that place is like, it could be 50 degrees and you get sunburn. It's crazy. Like, it's because of the elevation, but Joey, you gotta check out the Denver. You gotta check out the end of the Great Plains, man, right where the Rockies start, man. It's beautiful.
See some real buffalo. It's crazy.
I need to. Yeah. I will absolutely, I'll put that on the bucket list. It probably already is. But DP, we appreciate your time as always. We're gonna end this how we end it with every guest. Let you have the floor. Ask us whatever questions you want to ask us. We got all the time in the world for you. We're excited about it. Ask away.
Okay, cool. All right. Let me think of this. I've been kind of thinking about this in terms of like Ohio State basketball. on the women's side, do you think that they have an opportunity to really kind of repeat the success they had last year? What are you guys thinking there?
I think McGuff is a phenomenal coach. I think that they
really like him.
They don't lose a ton. They bring in more good players, which they always do. They really have just about the same team minus one or two girls this year. And like the style of play that they play, which I love, like they are the like organized chaos out on the back. They're like Havoc, like the old VCU, like Havoc, like run and jump, press, shoot the first open shot. Like, I just love it. I think the style is different where teams like don't do well playing against them because they never play against that style. Obviously McGuff's a great coach and the roster is super solid. I know they're the favorite, one of the favorites in the Big Ten again this year, them and like Maryland. So, per usual. But yeah, I love that team. They're very fun to watch.
Yeah, no, that's cool. All right. And then the next thing I want to go to the main.
Wait, I got to say real quick. I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah.
I've always said I think McGuff looks exactly like a clean-shaved, shorter hair Ryan Day. And once you see it, you won't be able to unsee it.
I can see it. No, I see. I like McGuff a lot, man. He's a good dude. We talk to him on the radio all the time, man.
He's great.
Awesome, man. I was laughing my ass off when those waves was whooping his ass down in South America.
Yes.
He almost took out a player's knee. You know, we were joking about that, but that's awesome. And then he has a unique situation. He's coaching against his daughter this year, which is going to be crazy.
What game is that?
It's one of the earlier games, but his daughter's a freshman. So I don't know if she'll play much.
Yeah, it is crazy, though. That's cool.
Yeah, you get to coach against your daughter. All right, on the other side, I'm really excited about Devin Royal. I don't live too far from the high school that he went to. I want to know what you guys think about, like, his impact and what kind of player he would be. Would he be, like, a tween, like a – to me, he gives me like Carmelo vibes, like bigger three.
Yeah.
You know, back to the basket kind of game. You know, what do you guys expect from him and this freshman class?
Andrew,
you do it. You're the basketball expert.
Well, I wanted to defer to you just in case.
I'll chime in after.
I think that I'll talk about freshman class as a whole. I think that one of the like really three or four wings that we brought in this year is going to either start right away or at the very least play a ton at that like wing three spot. I think the other positions are pretty much cemented with strong dudes. Obviously you got Roddy Gale and Bruce Thorne in the backcourt. You got Jameson Battle coming in from Minnesota, as well as either Zed Key or Felix Akpara, one of them. Like, that Battle can play the 3-4 just like Devin Royal can play probably the 3-4, just like if Tayson Chapman's in there, he's more of a like a wing, ball in his hands, 2-3. And then you got Scotty Middleton, who's probably the best athlete defender of those guys as well. So there's going to be opportunity for one of those guys, probably all three of them, to play, but one of those guys to really contribute a ton.
They also have the transfer from Penn State, who's probably going to play a lot of four, and then those guys can play more of
Mahaffey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who's a Cincy guy, right?
And, yes, he is. Yeah, I know his dad. Yeah.
So Devin Royal's exciting because he's a homegrown, hometown guy. I don't know, and this might upset people, I don't know if he's going to be the best of those guys, but I know that he's a stud, and I've met him. He's come to a million games. They've been recruiting him forever. So
I think I've even met him. That's how many
probably
games he's been
to. You probably have, honestly. So it's exciting. I can't remember a time where there's been this much opportunity for freshmen in like a meaningful way on a good team. Like there was a ton of opportunity last year, but the team sucked.
Yeah.
Like this is going to be a good team, an upper half of the Big Ten, if not like top four team in the Big Ten. And like the freshmen are going, they don't need to, they're not the key to success, but they are like a huge part, and they probably in a way can like make or break the season in a weird way. So we'll see. I hope Devin Royal is the guy. That'd be great. Be awesome. That'd solve a lot of problems. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think awesome. the Bruce Thornton show is going to be a sight to see this year. He's going to have a crazy, crazy usage rate.
Yeah.
And when he chooses to score rather than assist, he's going to get buckets, and he's going to make all those freshmen better. That's kind of like easy to say, oh, Bruce Thornton's going to get buckets. But at the end of the year.
But Bonner's great too. The transfer.
Yeah, but he was great, and then he had a down year. Like I think Bruce
Thornton's team, just like it's
California. He's going to be driving. He's going to be driving. Obviously, there's going to be relief for him. But we saw at the end of the year last year, it was like Roddy Gale and Bruce Thornton, like, congratulations, you are the future of Ohio State basketball. Like those feel like two guys that Holtman hopefully is not going to lose after next year to the NBA. Yeah. Obviously, if that does happen, it's because they had incredible years. And I don't think either of those guys are on any mock drafts right now. But like those, I'm so excited to watch those two guys next year. When's the last time, Joey, that there was a sophomore like Bruce Thornton or Roddy Gale that we were like this excited about? It's been a while because
EJ.
Yeah, it's been a while. Everybody just leaves.
I truly listen. Last year, I made the mistake of saying it was the most talented team Coach Holman's ever had, and they were terrible. But like, you got it. You know, you miss 100 of the
playing it safe this year. Yeah.
I'm not going to play it safe, but this is. I'll put it this way:
biggest team Holman's ever have.
The most dangerous dogs are when they're backed in the corner, right? That's when they're the dangerous. Yeah. That's when you got to fight back. And like, they are very much this coaching staff and the players in a sense. Like, it's make or break year. It's nut cutting time, put up or shut up, however you want to phrase it. Hungry dogs run faster. Like, I'm really excited because like they ain't holding anything back. So it'll be a fun year.
Right. Right. No, man, it is going to be a fun year. Man, there's so many questions I could ask because, I mean, now, my son plays basketball. We're on the AAU circuit. I see guys, and I'm like, and that guy would be nice at Ohio State. You know, we need to recruit this kid. So, I can ask. Yeah, man, there's a kid here locally, man. Have you guys seen the ambidextrous hooper, King Kendrick? He can. You guys aren't hip to him? This kid can play. He can shoot with both hands, bro. You think I'm joking? Like, he's playing in the. So, all right. So, last year, I did this thing. I was like, man, this sensible kid, he's a one and done. You don't even know that. You know, he's not good. No, he played in the Kingdom League and he scored 54 points or 52 points against adults at age 18. And he did it easy. I watched the video. It was just like, that's 54. That looks like 30. That's crazy. He's a pro. This kid is playing in the same league, sophomore in high school. Talk to Joey. He pulls up with his right, but he's pulling threes with his left. He can finish with either. He can float with either. And, like, I just don't want us to make a mistake of, like, letting a guy leave like that. So,
well,
you know, you need to offer this kid.
Is it the same thing as the Ohio State quarterback situation? If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. If you have two dominant hands, you don't have one. or is it not like that?
No, check this kid out. His name is Ken Kingsley.
I'm just kidding.
He's from Columbus. He goes to Northland. You get what I'm saying? Like, he,
if you're from Columbus and go to Northland and you're decent at basketball, I'm pretty sure we're going to offer him. It's the Jared Sollinger rule. But
that didn't happen. Trey Burke went to Michigan.
We offered Trey Burke. We just took Aaron Kraft instead. That's not bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not bad. No, we picked it. We picked the Kraft man. But Aaron Kraft clap. But we don't want to miss out on this guy.
Man. All right.
And I'm asking you guys to check him out. Let me know what you think next time we talk.
All right.
Yeah. Deal.
All
right, perfect.
We will definitely check him out, but we got to link up with you. I'm coming to Columbus twice over the next two months. Just booked the second trip. So Joey and I will hit you up. We got to, you know, grab a drink if not, just some food.
Are you guys coming to a game?
So I'm coming. Michigan
State for sure.
Michigan State weekend, but then I'm coming Purdue weekend at Purdue.
Okay. Oh, wow. Wait. Okay. And then you're going to come to Columbus after?
No, I'm going to Columbus the weekend of the Purdue game.
It's a road game. We're going to the Browns game. He's stopping in Columbus.
Yeah.
Ah, I got you. Okay. So Michigan State, we got to get together. You guys got to, I'll be on campus and stuff. Yeah. I'll be hanging out for that game.
We'll go. Maybe the BTN tailgate will be there. We'll go heckle Tyvus.
Oh, yeah. We will. We'll go get him. Yeah. I'm with you guys on that.
Love it. All right, man. We appreciate you as always. This is a blast as always, and we're excited to have you back on soon. More importantly, excited to see you in person soon, and we need to play some golf soon, very soon.
Joe, we run out of time, man. We're looking at. I think they shut down in November, so.
Let's make it happen. We'll make it happen.
We got to have you on for basketball season. We got to have you on during basketball season. Yeah.
That's my goal, man. I just want to be a trusted hoop voice, like, because I love basketball, man.
Yeah.
Like, I respect the game. I'm all about it, guys. Like, Joey, I just saw you do that little thing. Like, it's uncomfortable for you to feel a football player respect the hoop like that.
Just cracking my neck.
I respect it. Yeah, but you cracked it at the wrong time, man. I'm just saying, man. Look, let me know, guys. I would love to talk to you, man.
I'll talk route running, and you'll realize, okay, you're better at both than I am.
Well, I mean, I can teach you, bro. I want to learn from you too. So
perfect.
As long as we're students, yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in for that. I need that
film session after the Michigan State game.
Let's do it. Let's do it, guys. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me, like always, man. And it's always a good time. Let's stay in contact. Looking forward to Michigan State, sounds like.
Yes, sir.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Okay, guys. All right.
Hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Devere Posey. Big game against Western Kentucky this weekend for the Buckeyes. As I just mentioned, the worst thing that could possibly happen would be a potential ranked top five even matchup. Ohio State at Notre Dame could get spoiled this weekend. So we're actually going to say, buckle up, drive the lane, go Buckeyes, and go Fighting Irish, because we want that to be a ranked game. Little wrinkle.
Is that what we're – I don't like that.
No, we're not saying that. But we want that to happen.
Thanks to DP for an awesome episode. Me and Andrew both lost our fantasy teams. Andrew said no fantasy football talk in the outro, so I had to get some in there. I think I could be totally
wrong. Is outro a word?
Yeah, I could be totally wrong, but BTN tailgate might be in Columbus this weekend. I don't know if it is,
go check out Tyvus.
Yeah, exactly. Go check out Tyvus if you're in town or watch it on TV. Andrew's looking it up as we're talking. No,
I was looking up outro because I always say outro too, but I
it's definitely a word. It's definitely a word.
Big Ten tailgate schedule.
Maybe they haven't announced it yet.
No, they wouldn't have announced it. I think they were. I can't. Whatever. Look it up and tweet it at us.
We know you will.
All right. Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes. You didn't think I had this in me. Beat the Hilltoppers.
Ooh. It's at Wisconsin this week, by the way.
Okay. So I was right.
Massive game, Georgia Southern at Wisconsin.
I just can't wait for Tyvus to jump around. That'll be fun for him.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you guys next week.